With Sky Broadband Super Fast, you get minion proof Wi-Fi around the home. Whether you're streaming on the sofa,
gaming in the bedroom,
or swiping in the bathroom.
Hey! Oh, get out of here!
I said swiping. Switch your home to minion proof Wi-Fi with Sky Broadband Super Fast. Sky, believe in better. Requires Sky Broadband Super Fast. Sky Fiber areas only. Speed vary by location. External factors may affect speed and coverage. See sky.com.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Crappens.
Watch
what.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on ye old Bravo television. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast. I believe I'm going to be on the next episode. So everyone listen if you love board games, okay? And joining
critical
me...
Critical board gamer.
No, opinionated. Opinionated.
Oh, yeah. Opinionated board gamer. Ben Mandelker, everybody.
Mincing board gamer. The mincing board gamer is back. That's my nickname on it. That voice over there, my fellow mincing board gamer, that's Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello. Hi, everybody.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's another storm in Texas, so I'm just watching nature. You know, I'm just watching Mother Nature and saying, wow, you're doing a great job, Mother Nature. Leave my electricity alone.
Bitch, you better stay away from my electricity.
I'm really in the mood for some rain, I have to say. And today we're talking about family karma, and there was a rain scene. And I was like, oh, I want a rain scene. Said it's bright and sunny at all times here in Los Angeles.
Not in Texas. The Lord is teaching us some lessons here in Texas, Ben.
I feel like there was something I was going to announce at the top of this episode, but I don't remember what it is. So
I've got nothing. I'm starting with weather. So
you're starting
with
me. Weather.
That's where I'm at.
I'm looking at the window. I don't see any lizards.
Yeah, I don't have any lizards today. They're all high. Everybody's hiding. But I'll tell you what I do have. I do have some notes for a new season of Family Karma.
Yes. Family Karma had its season premiere this week, and I was so happy that it got a second season because I absolutely loved and adored the first season. We didn't cover it that much because it's like a very, very, very jokey show, and the first season was pretty much just like little vignettes. It felt almost like little vignettes. There was like a little bit of a storyline, but it was mainly just like, look at all these lovable people and families, and in that capacity, I adored it. I watched it every single week. It was the thing that at that time, it was one of the shows I looked forward to the most. But we really had a trouble wrapping our recap brains around it a little bit. But this season, I you know, it was cool because it looked like there was a little bit more storyline and drama right from the outset. So you know, I'm really looking forward to digging into it.
Well, you know, when in doubt, add a shady queen to cry a lot. Okay.
That's exactly right. I'm really excited to dig into this controversy later on in the episode.
Isn't that just the magic? It's like just add a gay guy in there to both victimize somebody and then cry about it and become the victim later. Okay.
Yeah.
And then everybody can start fighting amongst themselves. You know, I mean, and it's Pride Month.
We do great work.
We got great work. Just the start off of Pride Month, we got Queen and a Speedo causing trouble on Family Karma. And I think it really worked for the show.
It really did. So the episode opens up with Anisha's mom, Chitra, and Brian's mom, Dharma, sitting down to do an interview. And they're like, yeah, we can share this. We can share the couch. Like, we have no bad blood. We can sit here. She's like, yeah, I only talk about Anisha and I only talk about Brian. Okay, let's talk. Let's sit here and do the shot. So then I don't know, like, this was sort of like a trailer, but not a trailer. This whole segment here before the opening credits. We sort of like get kind of like a recap of what the show is all about, I guess, for people who haven't watched it before. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's a lot of characters on this show. It's like Game of Thrones of Bravo, where you have to like, you don't really know what's going on until you've seen it all. And then you watch it again. And you're like, oh, now I see how this all connects. There's a lot of people.
It's like Game of Thrones if everyone was just like, let's just share Westeros and let's just like go over to each other's castles. Yeah. And like the one thing you can't do is just leave a castle without saying bye to Cersei. You know, like you have to say bye to Cersei and say bye to Ned. And as long as you do that, like everything's totally chill.
Yeah, so this is a mix of clips from last season, clips of the upcoming season. So the producer, you know, I love that they have the two moms now. We have Brian's mom as well as Anisha's mom, and it's so cute having them both. And the producers are asking them, you know, describe the Indian community. And so we get their whole, you know, we're modern, but also traditional. So we get all of their, you know, mixed like American and Indian clips and stuff. And our children are a blend of the East and the West. They eat, they live with their parents, but they also strip for each other on party buses.
Yeah. And you guys live with grown children. She's like, no, our grown children live with us. And the producer says, so are you a helicopter mom? And so Dharma is like, what's a helicopter mom? They're like, you know, and then Achutra responds by saying, oh, hover over. And Brian's mom goes, oh, yes, I hover all the time. She's like so happy to be a helicopter mom.
Yes. And then them telling Anisha that her eggs were going to dry up if she waits too long. And then Anisha talking to her mom saying, you know, mom, he says he wants four kids. I'm not Octo Mom. She's like, oh, who's the lady who had eight kids? Octo Mom. No. The lady who was famous for having all of those children. Octo Mom.
Also, one thing I noticed, I don't know if it was, I don't know what was going on, but did everyone's makeup look crazy? Did everyone sort of look like they had kind of like French prostitute makeup? Like it was like super, super like rosy cheeks. Did you notice that?
Yes, because in Housewives, we get the season 2 boob job and facelift and or lip implants and all of that. But this is like a more innocent show. So they just come back with like lots of rouge and eyelashes.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Anisha sort of, I feel like Anisha did not get filler in her lip, but she started doing her makeup as if she did have filler. She just sort of had like a lot of upper lip going on. And then everyone had just like, yeah, like very, very intense rouge. It sort of looked like my fifth grade play, right? Like it's like, well, you're going to be on stage. So here's your stage makeup. And everyone like walks out with like basically red circles on their cheeks.
Yes, it's like making an effort to be on TV, which I appreciate. I appreciate on these shows. Everybody looks so glamorous. I mean, the moms. Wow. Mm-hmm. The moms were hot. Anisha looks really hot. Bali looks really hot. I mean, she used to work for Vogue or something, right? And then last season she was doing like flower orders, like stocking a flower company. And no, you know, she was kind of sad and she's like, well, I used to be glamorous, but now look at me. And this year she just showed up like, wow.
I thought she was pretty stylish last season too, but like I think she didn't just work for Vogue or whatever. I think she was the editor in chief or something of either Elle or Mirabelle, or she was an editor in chief, right? She was a very high ranking position at a fashion magazine in India. And then she's working like 1-800 Flowers in Miami, and she seemed to love it. She's like, actually, I really love it here. And you could tell she just totally annoyed all her coworkers all day long. They just were all in their cubicles just staring at her like, get this lady out of our office.
And they kept catching her on camera, like hating her job. She'd be like, you know, this is like the best place to work. I love it here. I get to order flowers. I get like a certain control over flowers. And then she'd think the cameras were off. And she's like, I fucking hate it here. Did I make it sound realistic? You're going to put that in there, right?
One of the best parts about this office is that they have complimentary lunch. You just go into the fridge and they just have lunch there and you just pull one out and you just eat it. And all her coworkers are like, that was my fucking tuna sandwich. If I have to hear about Elle magazine in India one more time. Oh my God, that's so funny. It reminds me of Elle magazine in India this one time.
So one of the moms is like, yes, you know, our children are still our children, but sometimes they get offended at us. And then just to like highlight the innocence of this show and getting offended, they're at like a family dinner and someone tells Bali, you know, I tell my son to call you auntie, right? And she's like, well, then it's a good thing he doesn't listen to you. It's like, ooh, burn. Burn it down. Like the sweetest show.
It is like truly the sweetest show. Everyone is sort of infantilized, you know, like they're all in their 20s or 30s in terms of the younger generation, but they're all still treated like they're 12 or 13. But in a way that somehow works, you're sort of like, I like that for them, because they all refer to each other as like just kids. You know, they're like, oh, we're just kids who like to do this. You know, at one point, Monica says, we're just kids who just want to get 1600s on our SATs. I'm like, you guys are in your 20s. You guys, you're not.
I know. And they're not in their early 20s either, you know. It's like you're 40, okay?
You're past that.
Yeah.
So anyway, the sort of the show opens properly after the opening credits. Speaking of makeup, et cetera. Chitra is basically saying how last season Anisha just wanted to do her own look, but she's like, she didn't trust me last season, but I said, look at the other girls on the show. And then we see like the side by side of Anisha now with her like super rouge going on. And then last season, like the previously, they just show her just like slumped over, looking like she's like she's Gargamel sneaking into Smurf Village or something.
God. Yeah, it's that, just that whole, like, I think I would have so much trouble being a woman, honestly, for like a million reasons, because it's way harder being one. But also the whole makeup and like being expected to look great all the time when you go. It's like I'm going to the mall, you know? I mean, Anisha would just show up like with her, the front of her hair pulled up into kind of a ponytail, you know, just with no makeup. Like, that's how you go to the mall, you know?
Yeah.
But then you have to, like, get all dressed up. But then now that she has been all dressed up with all the makeup, it's like, then you can't even go to the mall like you used to before. People are going to be like, oh, my God, what is she, depressed? You know, it's just too much. It's too much fucking pressure. I watch one of these ladies who does her makeup tutorials while she talks about murders. Her name is Bailey Sari, and I've mentioned her on the show. I love her. Mm. So I watch a lot of her makeup tutorials, and it is crazy from how she starts to how she ends. I mean, that is too much pressure. You start the day as just a normal girl with a couple of pimples, you know, and maybe some like fried chicken on your face, you know, like for some pizza crust on your face or whatever you just ate for breakfast, and then you end up a supermodel. That's too much. I can't.
Too much pressure. Too much. So so Anisha sort of gives us like a little bit of a reminder of how she basically was working in fashion and then moved back to Miami and doing her fashion business from home or whatever. And her mom really wants her to get married and have a baby. She's like, I don't want you to be an old maid with gray pubic hair. Which would be funny. Like, maybe it'd be cool if she didn't have gray pubic hair. I'm not sure. But so Anisha says that she's just, I've never been the perfect Indian girl, but I'm not about to start now. And so she is in the process of freezing her eggs these days. That's her big thing.
Yeah, she's the most Bravo ready, right? Like, she's the most prepared to be on Bravo. Like, she's whipping out the Bravo storyline, the freezing your eggs story.
Yeah.
And her mom's like, well, you know, when you would say eggs 4 years ago, I thought cage-free eggs. But, you know, now she can have kids. I get it. She could do it naturally, but...
Okay. But, you know.
How are you going to do it?
It's all good. It's all good. So Anisha and Chitra are now driving along, and Anisha's talking about how she's been meeting men, and she met a surgeon, and then saw that he was she was on Instagram, and she saw him like a video of him lying in his mother's lap or whatever. And then another guy, she says,
and the mother, I love the answer from the mom. She's like, well, maybe you can get married to him and then he will lay in your lap.
Yeah, maybe that.
Like, it's totally natural.
Yeah.
Of course he's laying in his mother's lap. He doesn't have a wife yet.
That's what you call sexy. And then another one, Anisha's like, someone goes to me after I asked if he used a tongue scraper. She's like, what's like, oh, I can't ask about like a wet wipe or something. And then Chitra's like, well, you know, when I met your dad, I didn't ask if he was using wet wipes, but we still worked out fine.
Yeah. She's like, mom, it's 2021. Okay. People are like hiding families and shit. She says, you make it sound terrifying. It is fucking terrifying, okay? I dare any of these mothers to go on Grindr for 5 minutes, okay? They will leave with completely blue skin, terrified of life.
Yeah, they will be traumatized. Yes. It's traumatizing even for people who are like used to it. It's just, Grindr is traumatizing. It is just like, let's match trauma with trauma, okay? That's what it is.
So, oh, but they even make them sound scary. What's the one where they woof at you? That's scruff.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you woofing at me? Like, even that's terrifying. You know, it's like you're about to be killed. You know, it's like you turn around and there's just something there ready to eat you. They don't woof at me.
Yeah. It's a wild world out there. So, so they're just like talking about it and everything. Anisha at one point was like, yeah, you know, I still haven't even gotten a dick pic yet from a guy. And she's just like, you know what? This conversation is for your friends. It is not with me. I love when she suddenly just draws the line. Like, no, I'm your mother again.
So then the group text starts of all the friends. Brian's having his birthday and he wants to have a pool party. And of course, Amri is like, I'm only coming if Brian wears a Speedo. Mm-hmm. So let's see here. Oh, and Anisha's like, well, you know, I mean, I can't believe he's 29 and 29-year-old eggs. That sounds very fresh. She's only thinking in terms. Okay, yeah. So then we go to the Benny household and Brian doing his hair. Brian, the Rico Suave of the show. He's always like winking at the camera and combing his eyebrows.
Yeah, and his dad keeps calling him Loverboy. He's like, oh, is Loverboy on the phone? So he is on the phone. He's on the phone with Monica, but not the Monica you might think. It's a different Monica. This is Dr. Monica. Dr. Monica Delmonica is who he is on the phone with.
So he tells us how he used to have a friend, crush on his childhood friend, Monica, but now he's got Dr. Monica. Like, it was a blow to his ego to not be liked by Monica, but now he's got another Monica, okay?
Yeah.
And this one is in Tampa, and she's a doctor.
Tampa Monica, which sounds like actually an instrument. Like, did you ever learn how to play the Tampa Monica? So
like no one sets out to play the Tampa Monica, but it's lovely once it is played.
It's like when you it's lovely.
Like, wow, I'm gonna take Tampa Monica lessons. Nobody says that, but they're like, well, you can't play the tuba, you're terrible at it, so get over there to the Tampa Monica. And you're like, wow, this is actually kind of lovely, I like this.
Yeah, but it's like, it doesn't get its respect until a hipster musician in Brooklyn starts playing Tampa Monica, and then it's like, oh, have you heard of that new Tampa Monica singer? Her name is Charlotte Smorgsborg. She does great Tampa Monica music. It's like pop, but with Tampa Monica. Like, no, I need to check it out. And then Andy Samberg's dating her, next thing you know.
Lucky girl. So then we find out that the friend Monica is dating a guy named Rish. And Brian's like, oh, yeah, no problem at all. Love him. You know, I mean, look, we all knew him as kids because they all knew each other as kids.
everyone on the show. They all knew everything. Yeah. They literally knew Andy Cohen. They're like, yeah, that's how we got the show, because we all were friends with Andy Cohen growing up.
Yeah. And he talks about how Rish was kind of a dorky kid, but he really had a what? Rish?
I think it's Rish.
Oh, Rish. Oh, yeah. We didn't give our normal disclaimer before this show. We are not Indian, okay?
Yeah.
We are going to mispronounce all of these names, even though we watched the entire first season, and we are going to bungle these accents terribly.
Yes.
Please don't be offended. We don't do it hatefully. We're growing with family karma.
Yeah, we're trying to do it to sound like the characters like we do with all our other shows. So that's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to come from a place of like, this is how Indians speak. We definitely know this is not how South Asians speak in any form. We're just trying to create differentiation between voices.
Yeah, so we're just finding a new way to make an ass out of ourselves.
That's all we want to do, okay?
Today it's coming out in the form of family karma.
I apologize ahead of time for giving some of these aunties an Irish accent. I'm still in below deck mode. I'll be like, oh,
Brian White. Look at the lover boy. It's his birthday.
Like, that's not Indian at all.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to stick with Rish because I think his name is Rish. Okay. So Brian, you know, Brian loves him. And then Monica, the girlfriend Monica, Dr. Monica is like, oh, yeah, your mom texted me. And he's like, my mom texted you. She's like, yeah, we have a group chat called like group text minus Brian. He's like, oh, my God, you really got me with that one.
I also can I give a shout out to Rish for being really hot. I think that Monica did really well for herself. He's so hot and he's so nice. I'm into Rish if that's how you pronounce his name, if it's Rish or Rish, whatever it is. But I was very supportive of this cast edition.
So he comes out for the family part of his birthday and they have a little cake for him. And his mom's like, don't worry, when you have your real bash, it's going to be a real banger. So he blows out his candles and, you know, the dad's like, you know, we're just happy. He's excited about this new girl. She's very nice. We want grandkids. He's like, geez.
And Dharma?
I'm just a child, a 29-year-old child, father.
Mom, I still have to study for my SATs. I can't even be thinking about children.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Brian's mom, Dharma, is not... She seems to really have a chip on her shoulder about last season because she's now calling Monica, original Monica, she keeps calling her a prick tease, because she's like, well, you know, she led you on. And then she was like, oh, no, we're just friends. You know, maybe a nicer word is flirtatious. I mean, no need to take it personally. I'm like, I'm sure Monica will be super chill with you calling her a prick tease.
Oh, Monica, yeah. Monica's going to love that.
She's been so chill already.
Yeah, just chill Monica, you know, just the Monica, lets everything slide off her back. She's not going to mind that at all, especially because her storyline last season was she got mad at the other girls for suggesting that she slept with Brian. She slept in his hotel room. So
it was, yeah, it wasn't even that they had sex, it's just that they actually shared a room.
Yeah, so them calling her a prick tease is not going to go over too well. And it is cringe, and she just keeps doing it over and over, which they're like, Mom, you can't say that. That's so offensive. And then she does it in every scene after. She's like, but she was a prick tease.
Oh, hello, prick tease. Nice to see you again. So now we go to Emery, who is, he's checking out his new apartment. He's in an apartment that looks like a hotel room. I can't really tell what it is. Maybe it's like one of the corporate housing or something. But he's showing his mom the new apartment on FaceTime. And he's like showing it around. And she's like, so is there a microwave? Is there a mic? He's like, Mom, yes, of course there's a microwave. His mom is like hilariously doting about everything. She's like, well, I need you to be a microwave. Is there a microwave? Is there a microwave? He's like, yes, mother.
Yeah, she goes, is there a microwave? Maybe you should stay home, honey. We have a microwave here.
Is there a ceiling? Did they finish the ceiling? You probably shouldn't leave.
And the dad's like, how far is it away from us? And he's like, it's only 15 miles, Dad. And the mom's like, so you're going to come to dinner every night, right? He's like, no, I'm not coming to dinner every night.
Yeah.
So then the bros come over. Oh, my God, these guys, these guys crack me up. I like it. And this year, they're really broing it up.
Yeah.
They're like, bro.
They're super broing it up. But you also feel like they're about to go somewhere and drink like Diet Coke and have burgers, you know? Like,
yeah.
Which is what I love to do, I should mention. But they're just like, bro, man, I'm like hungover today. I had so much Diet Coke last night.
Yeah, they're like, bro, anybody else with a saccharine hangover? Whoa, yeah, bro.
No, I had to take it easy. The SATs are tomorrow, so I had to study. Just doing it for fun, you know. I'm way past college, but my mom's still mad I didn't get the 1600, so I just take it every year until my score gets high enough.
So they're loving this new apartment. They're like, wow, you're adulting so hard, bro. And Amrit's like, Vishal's like, I need my bar cart right here, guys. This is where I need my bar cart, all right? And he goes, because I'm going to need a drawer for when Risha kicks me out, okay? That's going to really
That's what I need, bro.
Yeah.
So now, so he starts talking about, should we just make Vishal sound like he's from old-timey Hollywood? Hey, bro.
Hey. He kind of is. He has that, like, Darren from Bewitched look about him, you know? Uh-oh. And he's I think, the statement. Most infuriating person on this cast for me, because he pretends he's just that, like, happy-go-lucky guy, but then he's, like, kind of a gaslighting, whiny little brat, too.
Yeah. His bro-ness does not feel authentic to me, just as an outsider, and that's not saying anything about whether or not he's gay or whatever, because that's a big subject this episode. It just feels like he's just not he's like a nerd in the best possible way, like the way we're nerds, right? And so, like, seeing him be like, hey bro, what's up bro, it just is kind of funny to me. It's like, okay. So
for me, it's all the heavy blinking and preening and like lip pursing and stuff he does at the camera. Like he thinks he's like a Calvin Klein model, you know, because he's got abs, like he works out a lot. And, you know, we get that a lot from pretty people. And he is pretty, I think. It's I don't know. And Brian does the same thing. And guys like that kind of get on my nerves. So that's where I'm at with him.
Brian and Vishal, to me, actually both look like Disney characters. They have like these big sort of cartoony eyes. And like this sort of like, especially Brian. Brian looks so much to me like a Disney prince. And I mean this in really good, in a really good way. I mean, I don't know how it could be taken in a bad way, but I mean in a good way.
Beautiful.
But it's kind of, but in that way, that does, that's why it's sort of hard to see them as bros, because I just don't see Disney princes being like, bro, what's up? I was just hanging out with this, like, this, I was just hanging out with this princess. She was fire.
Yeah, she's bae, bro. She is bae, bro. So,
although Vishal, I think actually we can all agree that if any of those Disney princesses lived in modern times, they would actually all be like that, and they'd be totally insufferable. I mean, Eric, or Aladdin, or I can't think of any other princes.
Who's they were the guy insufferable from, you know, in the actual movies. That's why they didn't even have any roles. You know, they Prince were all Charming. Terrible.
Yeah,
you know, Prince Charming, what a pig.
You know, they would literally be Vanderpump Rules, actually. It's very upsetting now that I think about it.
Yeah. They're like commenting on HGTV posts trying to get their own show.
Man, love this new castle I got in Versailles. I wish that I had someone to help me renovate it.
Wish someone was on my journey with my screw gun over here in Versailles. So Vishal is telling us, you know, everyone's wondering all the time, why aren't me and Risha married? Well, you know, I'm terrified of her mother, and she doesn't like me either. And so we get a clip of the mother just hating him.
Lopa is a national treasure.
I love Lopa. I love her.
Lopa is basically like if you put the two of us together into a lady. And just Lopa is basically, Ronnie and I were basically in disguise. Like I was sitting on Ronnie's shoulders, essentially.
Yeah.
Just like in a Lopa costume, just walking around season one.
I love her too. And that was our biggest thing in season one. We wanted it to be about the parents. And every time it was about the kids, which is the whole show, we're like, fuck this. We need to see the anti-drama, okay? I'm not here for these children. So we see the clips of Lopa and then Risha telling him, what, you're afraid of my mom? Let your balls drop and become a man. And he's like, oh.
They had zero chemistry last season. I'm sorry. They had zero. I don't know what's going on with their relationship. And of course, I say this as an outsider. I don't know why I have to like keep giving that caveat as if I'm going to be like talking with the cast of Family Karma. But like, they just seem like they have no chemistry whatsoever. Like, this is the least surprising news, that Vishal and Richa have broken up. And that he's still like pining for her. I'm like, you guys were together for 9 years, long distance, and you begrudgingly proposed to her. I don't call this a great love story here. Okay. I think it's time to move on to someone else.
Yeah. So he's talking about how he got COVID and it flared up his Crohn's disease. So then he got depressed. And so that affected his relationship because he was just like sick and sad and depressed. And he wanted to go get couples therapy. And she's like, no, you're the one with the problem. I'm fine. So you go get fucking therapy. How about that?
Which is sort of a weird thing. She said, I know what's wrong with me, but you need to go get therapy. And I'm like, well, maybe he gets therapy and you guys have couples therapy together. I'm not sure. that like if your relationship's having issues, it's like, okay, you get the therapy. That feels like a weird note to me.
I think if someone's like in bed depressed, then it's okay to tell. I say this as someone who is often in bed depressed. I suffer from depression.
Oh, Randall.
But, well, you know, it's just like a thing. But I wouldn't be mad if somebody was like, you need to go get there. Like,
that's
you
true.
Fix
that's,
you,
that's
you know,
true.
Like, you work on you. And then, you know, if we still want to be together, okay, then we need to work on it, fine. But, like, yeah. You're the one in bed all day. Get some help.
And so he also has like, extreme mommy issues, too. So, yeah.
And he also had all those issues with, look, here I was thinking, this is going to just be a quick, fun, light recap.
What are we going to talk about?
No, let's talk about depression and horrible. Also, you know, his whole season was he didn't want to work. He didn't want to do anything. She has a really good job, so she works. And he wanted to have kids and just stay home. Now, it's not saying that the dad can't stay home. I mean, a lot of families run that way, but they don't have a family yet. Like, get your ass working and make some kind of effort. I don't know. I got skeevy vibes from him last year. So those are still lingering.
Yeah. So, so she says, Vishal basically says that Richard gave back the ring and that she doesn't consider herself the fiance or the girlfriend. I'm like, so you guys have broken up, by the way. I don't know if you realize this. That's a breakup. If she says, I don't consider her a fiance or a girlfriend, you're broken up. So stop talking like present tense with this relationship. It's over. But the other scandal that happened is that Vishal was on the phone with, but is it Vishal or Vishal? Because I have a friend named Vishal.
Vishal.
Sorry. So I have a friend named Vishal. So if I say Vishal, I'm accidentally referring to my friend whose wife listens to this podcast. Hey, Eva. So, so anyway, Vishal hasn't told anyone, the scandal is that he was on the phone with Richa and he heard Lopa in the background say that she got a condo in Miami. And then Lopa told Richa, don't tell Vishal that I got a condo in Miami. And so now he bears this secret about the secret condo. Yeah.
And he's like, you know, and things with her, the mom, are way worse because now she's seeing us argue. And of course, she's blaming me for everything. So then we go over to Monica and her dad, Raj.
Adorable, adorable Raj.
So you know you're in a Raj scene when it just opens with a man's hair getting perfectly hairsprayed.
I know.
It's like a close-up of hairspray.
When a disco ball descends from the ceiling, you know you're in a Raj scene. So, yeah. So Raj is like, you know, Monica has always been like very confident, but she's like a little extra now. And
Hashtag thriving, dad. Say hashtag thriving. He's like, hashtag thriving. Like, yeah, you're my hype man, dad.
Girl, you know it. So then we're just going to leave that there, everyone. We're going to leave everything with Monica's dad. We're just going to leave for you guys to make your own opinions about.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I think I just hope he's gay. You know, I would love a dad coming out storyline.
Yeah.
So she's cooking and she's like, you know, I'm cooking for my man because I have a man now and he's there. Rish, and he's so cute. And she's like, you know, you should learn to cook because that's a life skill. And he's like, well, yeah, I do cook. I cook meat. She goes, honey, we're vegetarian. And I'm like, of course that's Monica's relationship.
Mm-hmm. Honey, don't you remember? We're vegetarian, honey.
And in case there's any question about, any question about were Rish and Monica friends when they were little? Of course they were, because Raj was friends with Rish's mom in Hong Kong. So the family lineage continues.
How crazy is that?
That is really crazy.
This is the kind of couple, like the biggest cheating scandal in their life, and she'll probably kick him out over this, is when he gets caught sneaking out to go get pepperoni on his pizza. You know,
we're vegetarian, honey.
I know. And like Rishi is so nice because at one point Monica slams her finger in a drawer and she's like, oh, wow, 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 wow. And he like goes to console her and she's like, why are you going to kiss my finger? He's like, am I allowed to kiss her finger? He's like, yes, girl, come on, kiss her finger.
And Rishi's like, yeah, you know how I am with your dad, you know, like, he's cool with me. He's not like, I'll break your neck. And she goes, yeah, I'll break your neck first if you ever say meat again. Okay. And like my dad knows I come here. Okay. I'm almost 29. And if I want to sleep over with my boyfriend, I will. Who are you to say what I can do? Ding dong. Oh my God. It's my dad. Let's get it.
So Monica tying up her storyline from last year of I'm not a prude and how dare you. And I will sleep with whoever I want when I want, ladies. There you go, Monica.
Yeah. I will sleep with whoever I want in separate beds. In 10 years, okay? Because I'm a lady.
We will sleep in the same bed in separate sleeping bags whenever we want to.
We will study for the SATs together, and then at an appropriate time, we will leave by our own choice to get a good night's sleep before the test.
It's just so funny going from a show like Real Housewives of New York, where they're fighting because they're talking about eating out a-holes, and then to this show.
Can I kiss your daughter's finger that she just heard in a drawer? Can I kiss
her? Yeah. So, yeah, let's see here. So, Monique. Oh, gosh. Here we go with my shortened Bravo names. So, Monica's like, you know, Rich is even more uncomfortable with PDA than my dad. And the dad says, yeah, that's called respect. I mean, you guys can do whatever you want. Just don't make out in front of me, because that would be weird. And Monica's like, dad! Like laughing way too hard, and I'm loving the awkwardness of it.
Hashtag driving. So then we go to Amrita and Nicholas, and they're moving out. And this is the rain scene, guys. So just like visualize it. But they're moving out, and it's like the worst day to move because it's raining. So then Lavina, the mom, is like, well, let's go pray at the shrine. So they pray at the shrine to make the rain go away or whatever. And then Lavina's like, well, you know, the rain, those are blessings. Amrit's like, inconvenient blessings. And the dad's like, blessings are never inconvenient. So it's just like really cute. What can I say? And then it was just everything was like adorable. There's this big poodle type dog named Theo, and the dad says, God bless you. May you be a human in your next life.
So they're moving. Nicholas is here now. He's in this season. And they're moving into the new apartment, and the mom is just nagging them the whole time. She's like, do you have your eye drops? Do you have your leg wrap? Nicholas, did you take your eggs? He's like, yes, I have my eggs. Do you have your tilapia? He's like, yes.
He's
like, I think, because this is so Nicholas. Of course, like, his belongings it's protein. That's what Nicholas adds to this household. It's like any kind of protein. And he's like, I think that we're going to go to the store. Okay.
Yeah. I just like the idea of like, okay, we got our clothes. We got our furniture. I've got my laptop. You got your tilapia? Okay. Hardware. Like the mom is like just so does not want them to leave that she's just coming up with any excuse. Oh, no, you forgot your tilapia.
It's so cute how she's already taking care of Nicholas like her own child. Like she knows he just wants his protein, you know. The other kid she has to do everything for. Nicholas, all she can offer is his protein.
Which is also impressive because last season the big storyline was that was about the mom and the father accepting Amrit as a gay man and having a boyfriend. And like that was a little bit of her journey. And now here she is being like, you got your tilapia? Eggs and tilapia?
And he's annoyed like her own son, you know, like he's her own son, which is really cute. So Amrit is like, yeah, well, he'll just be glad to like be able to walk out of the shower and just like let it all go without a towel on. Like he really likes to air dry like that. Mm-hmm. And the producer asks him, I mean, were you doing things in front of your parents? And he goes, ha, ha, with myself? And they're like, or other no, people. With Nicholas.
Yeah, he goes, with myself or other people? I'm like, why is Nicholas not part of your equation there?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they have some kind of open thing going on because they were separate for so long.
So now
Nicholas goes, Nicholas is so frustrated, which is so funny. He's like kind of just like a persnickety little queen, right? He's like, oh my God, why don't you put that on top? What is wrong with you? Jeez Louise. And he moves something in the trunk, and Lavina's like, don't get stressed. He's like, I'm not stressed.
And he goes, Amrit, it's raining. Drive slow, which is exactly what my parents would be like. Like the story of me visiting my parents is that I have to drive slow and wear a sweater or a jacket. Like you need a sweater. Yeah. I kind of feel like Lavina is my mom. Do you have your tilapia? Yeah. So, and then it was so sweet.
I'm every mom. It's all in me. Don't fit your tilapia, baby.
And then it was like really sweet because then they drive off and Lavina's like, oh, a little part of me just left. A little part of my heart just left. And then the dad says, well, come on inside. A major part of your heart is here. I was like, oh, I didn't know Bravo could give us such sweet moments. Yeah. What's wrong with this? This show should be canceled.
So they drive up to, look, Miami X. Mm. And, oh no, he goes, look, Miami X, which is, of course, their apartment building. So they pull up and go into their apartment. It's, you know, like a Miami's expensive as F, so it's like a studio. Yeah, but it's nice. And, Reed's like, wow, isn't this nice? And Nicholas goes, yeah, it's a good first time apartment. It's a stepping stone. And he's like, to a house? He goes, with a nursery. It's like, oh, here we go.
I think Nicholas
no
is like,
no one can escape it.
Nicholas is like, why did you not include me on this apartment hunt? Like, this is ridiculous. It's a studio apartment and we're in our 30s and you're a lawyer. Why are we here? So, then we go over to Dylan and Sean. So now we're going to meet Dylan. So we didn't see much of Sean last season. He was there a little bit, but they're part of the Patel family, which is like the big, they're like the big influential family, Indian family in their, in the neighborhood. And, they're talking about how their dad, like they were embarrassed growing up because their dad would always pick them up in a Rolls Royce and then would be blasting Indian music and then have to listen to a 10 minute Indian prayer on the way to school every day. And so they just really hate that. And so we see Dylan and Shan setting up a cheese board and making drinks with their mom and everything. And this is the first time we've met Dylan. I don't remember if he made a cameo last season or not. He might have. But he basically tells us, he's like, yeah, 4 years at Duke, 4 years in San Francisco. And this is my first time living back in Miami in 10 years. So he's like reconnecting with like all the friends. He's like basically everyone's little brother.
Yes. And Sean's kind of a douchebag, I think. He's like, we're the OGs. Everyone knows us. I was like, you're kind of a douche. Because wasn't he the guy who's like always bragging about his money to everybody? He's like, whoa, bro, look at me. Look at my new car. Some reason I remember that from last year.
Yeah, he was. I feel like he wasn't bragging about his money, but he was very much a culture bragger. Like, oh, have you tried this whiskey? It's the best. Oh, this cigar, this is the best. Oh, have you been to that restaurant? That's the best restaurant to go to. So they would just, I think Brian got really annoyed at him because he was always sort of one-upping him.
So then we get the guys giving their opinions on these two. And Omri is like, you know, Dylan's like our little brother. And Vishal says, yeah, he's the ankle biter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Dylan's whole thing is that he came out at 19 and published a letter in the Duke student newspaper and posted it on social media. And he's also really close with Anisha and like they're just like besties. So then
we see like their little scene together. And she's like, I have olives. She goes, I have olives that'll burn your asshole. Okay. Remember when I used to put ponytails on you and steal your chicken nuggets? And he goes, yeah. I was like, who is this woman? And why is she stealing my chicken nuggets? And then, now I only ask you if I should bleach my asshole. He goes, that's true, actually. That's true.
Yeah. He's like, why am I friends with you again? You stole my chicken nuggets and now you only talk about your asshole. This is not right. So now we see, now there's like a basketball game. And so Amrit and Brian are walking to a basketball court. And they're like, yeah, let's play. Let's be badass. We're totally gonna be badass. We're gonna be such badass. Ooh, is that starfruit? Is that starfruit? My parents love starfruit. Should we get some for my parents? I would love that for your parents.
So Sean comes in there all broing each other. Like, basketball, bro. Remember when we used to play basketball as kids? And we get a bunch of clips of them as kids playing basketball. Which, you know, that's what makes this show special, I think. Yeah. And then Vishal isn't there yet. And so Amrit's like, well, you know why he didn't respond, right? Mm-hmm. And so he tells Sean that it's because he heard that Dylan was comparing him to some
Gainus Richter scale.
Gainus Richter scale. And Vishal's like, Vishal's telling him, yeah, like he's comparing me to a Gainus Richter scale. And he said, I give oral to guys.
So Brian is like, well, it's not my fight. It's between the two of them. So Amrit says, because Amrit and Vishal are really close. He goes, Listen, Vishal doesn't care that people call him gay. And I know that for a fact. He's just so secure about his sexuality. It's that Dylan is talking shit behind his back. That's what pisses him off. So this is like our first seed of drama happening here this season.
Yeah. So Vishal's really mad. So he's like, you see the scar on my eye? This is from basketball. So we're going to settle this on the court. You can compare me to Dennis Rodman. I'm very physical.
Vishal, did you know there's star food in the corner? There's star food. What?
Oh, my God. Star food. Rachel's parents love star food.
Oh, my God. Is there more star food? I'm afraid that this tree may have already been picked. Oh, my God. Over there. Yes.
So they're all like, bro, basketball, bro, basketball. Star and then they all absolutely suck, which is funny.
if anyone ever wants to see me play basketball, watch this scene.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
For me, so, watch the star fruit.
Oh, I forgot that. You know what's funny? So when I was watching this and taking notes, but it was like late at night and I fell asleep. And so my memory of this seems like a little hazy. So as I'm looking at these notes, Vishal really did say, oh, you can compare me to Dennis Rodman. I thought you were just making a joke, but he really did say that.
Yeah. With him, you don't really have to make anything up. He's funny. Yeah. So he's like doing pull-ups in public and they're like, shocker, Vishal's showing off his body. And Vishal's like,
Can I mention that the climax of this basketball was not that a team won, it's that someone finally scored. And that was like, yay!
Activity over. We can go home now, yeah. So Vishal does his pull-ups, and then he gets off, and he's like, Dylan, can I grab you? Just wanted to do some pull-ups before I totally tear you apart. And he's like, sure, Shader son. So they go over to talk, and Vishal's like, I heard the shit that you called me. You called me gay? You said I was on a Richter scale of gay? And if you think talking shit is okay, I mean, you're gay. So I thought you would be more sensitive to being called gay, which you are, which I guess wouldn't be that bad. But, like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Answer. And Dylan's like, I thought talking about the feminastics of you.
feminine aspects. Not feminastics.
I thought he said, damn it, I wish you didn't correct me.
Sorry.
Because I thought he said feminastics, and I was like, he's now my favorite person on Bravo, because that's some funny shit.
Because we both exhibit lots of feminastics.
Yeah. I thought talking about the feminastics of you was something that you were comfortable with, and I was wrong. And he's like, well, I've got love for you, so don't come for me. And I mean, talking about my relationship, what the fuck?
Yeah. And he says, I mean, he's making fun of my relationship, literally saying I'm giving oral to guys. So Dylan says, well, I didn't realize you were so hurt by it still. So sorry. And Vishal says, well, I don't know if you're truly sorry because you're acting like it never happened. And I'm glad you're back. But if you ever talk shit about me, I'm going to put your face in the ground. And then Dylan just like giggles like, oh, what?
He goes, aha.
Vishal goes, I'm telling the truth, bro. Oh, did you hear about the star fruit? Wait, anyway, I'm telling the truth, bro. And Dylan says, well, I mean, I don't take real physical threats seriously, so you can say what you want, it reflects on you. Which I thought was actually a really cool comeback. Although he later then cries about the physical threat. So we find out that actually he does take it seriously. So Vishal's like, I'm giving you a warning, bro. I'm going to pound your face into the ground. Let's also say, I mean, Vishal saying he's going to put someone's face in the ground is also hilarious.
Yeah.
He's terrified of Lopa for crying out loud. Do you think he's going to be able to put someone's face into the ground?
Yeah. What I found odd about this was Vishal tells him, listen, you called me gay and you put me on a Richter scale of being gay. But he doesn't say, and you accused me of giving blowjobs to guys. He didn't say that to him. He told us that. And then later he doesn't say it to him either, which I find really weird, because is he thinking that Dylan's going to be like, but you did blow that guy. Remember that guy? Yeah. This is the guy that you said that you blew. I'm wondering why he didn't put it in there. It makes it a little bit fishy to me personally.
Yeah. I thought that at this point in watching it, not knowing how it was going to play out, I just thought it was like this weird, like masculinity flex. And first of all, it's like, I was sort of hoping that Vishal would sort of do that thing where he would say, there's nothing wrong with being gay, but it's just not who I am. And you're mischaracterizing me and it's going to affect my relationship. I sort of thought, I was hoping that would be the vibe, but it actually had like an air of gay panic about it, which I was like, this is kind of like, we're in 2021, right? So I didn't really love that vibe. And then I thought that, oh, I'm going to push your face into the ground, was just, again, like a weird masculinity flex that just seemed, I didn't take it seriously. I was like, okay, this is dumb. And I thought that Dylan didn't take it seriously. So I just was like, okay, this is just so family karma.
I didn't get gay panic from it, but I just thought it was weird that one minute, because it was two different ways he said it, right? Because if you say you're calling me gay and you said I'm on a Richter scale of gay, that's one thing. But if you're saying I'm blowing guys, that's cheating, which ruins my relationship. Those are like two different things, but he only accused him of doing the gay thing. He didn't accuse him of the cheating thing. So that's why it's fishy to me. I'm not really sure what's going on with him. But yeah, it's like a guy who never confronts anybody, who's like, you know what? I am going to confront somebody today. That's it. I'm going to do it. And then he just takes it way too far.
Yeah, I know. There was just something that like it was not like a crazy gay panic moment. But I think when he said, like, you said I was gay and you compare me to a Richter scale of gay and you're gay, and so you should know better about spreading rumors about that. He may have been meaning like, you know, that those rumors can be, you know, like those, you don't say those rumors if someone is in the closet still or whatever, but like it just sort of tonally was like a little weird to me. It didn't land the way I just felt like a shade of disappointment by it. I can't describe it. I just felt it. But either way, I didn't really think much of it. And I thought that Dylan's response about like, okay, well, you can say what you want to me, but it's going to reflect on you. I was like, I was sort of expecting Dylan to have a big sort of histrionic moment where we'll be like, oh, of course, here comes the drama causing gay, but he kind of didn't. So I was like, oh, okay. So, but anyway, we move on. So, we just have like a little vignette of Chitra and Anisha on the couch, and Chitra's like, I'm getting old. And Anisha says, well, you're the coolest boomer I know. Is it boomer or bloomer? Okay, bloomer.
So then Anisha goes to see her grandparents, who were the best. Yeah. And she brings them some pad thai, and her grandma's like, but grandpa only likes whiskey. You need to bring him some whiskey. And she's like, we're cutting him off of the whiskey, okay? We have to ration him because he keeps drinking it all.
He's eating rocks. Like, no, it's on the rocks, Grandma. So I love that, like, he is basically in the throes of alcoholism when they're like, ha, 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 ha. We'll just ration it out for him at the moment.
Girl, when you're that old, it's just called doing whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So she talks about how he lived on a farm in India and that he was the only one who actually left, and he went to London and then he ended up becoming a CEO in Dubai. Yeah. And the grandpa tells her, I mean, they've been standing there talking for probably 5 minutes at the door, and he goes, no shooting? And she's like, she points to the cameras, and he just kind of looks out the door like, what? And the producer goes, we're filming you right now. And he goes, oh, hello.
Is there anything you want to say to America? America is great. So he's a U.S. citizen now. And then he starts trying to touch the boom. He's like reaching up for it. And they're like, Grandpa, stop. Stop that. And then Anisha leaves. And then Grandpa and Grandma are in the window just like waving goodbye. It was adorable. It's like my favorite.
I thought it was so cute how she describes it. She's like, he's so excited about being an American now. I mean, he loves this country. He loves Costco. Which that I thought sums it up. Yeah.
So then there's like a little Brian with his parents thing about like a booger in his nose. It's like no big thing. And then now they're setting up for Brian's big birthday party. And Vishal comes over and they're like, cheers. Cheers to a fun day with no drama. And you brought the star fruit. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. My mom will be so happy.
He's like, yeah, bro, I'm ready to turn up today. It's like, that's what everybody says as their mom's over in the corner making a pasta station. Like, yeah. We are gonna turn up today, bro.
Anyone want a sandwich? Monica and Anisha are still in a feud from last season, because of everything we talked about earlier. And so everyone's just talking about it. And Amrit is saying how their feud spilled over at his law firm cocktail reception and ruined the entire night last season. And we get a flashback of Anisha being like, okay, so I won't be friends with you and you won't be friends with me. I'm like, wow, that event was ruined. Totally devastated. Yeah, yeah.
Ripped down, ripped to the shreds. And they do an impersonation of their fight, which is really funny. It's like,
hi, bye. She didn't even say hi to me.
Like, that's the extent of their whole fight.
Yeah. So now there's a van or a car that's with Shan and Anisha and Dylan and Shan's girlfriend, who I can't remember her name off. I have to like wait for her name to pop up in my notes later. But they all they're all driving, and Anisha's like, "So is Monica gonna come over with Dollar Store Drake?" Which I thought was funny, even though I think he's hot. He is Dollar Store Drake.
And Dylan tells him, well, Vishal like came for me for like questioning his sexuality, and like I thought he was comfortable with his sexuality, so I was actually saying that in defense of him. So he goes, if you ever say anything about, which is why again that the dick sucking thing is still sticking in my craw. Is that a thing to say? That sticks in my craw. So because he's basically saying he was sticking up for him, saying, you know, he's on a Kinsey scale of gay, right? So
that actually is a defense. I think actually it is a defense, because he said that Vishal was upset at him because he said he's not gay, but so he probably was saying he's not gay, but he's on the Kinsey scale, so maybe you know, like certain things he does read that way, which actually is a defense. Right. Not that there's anything wrong with it, in the words of Seinfeld.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm obsessed over a blowjob now. Okay, that's going to make all the difference in this story. It's making me crazy. But so far, I'm Team Dylan.
We literally had a presidential impeachment because of a blowjob. So you're not crazy.
Sure did. Changed nothing. So he's like, so he goes, if you actually say anything about me again, I'm going to put your face in the ground. And he's like, ah. And he like takes off his glasses. He's like, ah. I'm sorry. I'm emotional. Do you want to drive? I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm like literally crying. Hold on.
I know. I was like, this is ridiculous. First of all, you said you weren't impacted. And then I was like, this is over the top. Although oddly enough, later in the episode, I actually wind up on his side about it, but well, I'll get to it.
Yeah, not me, but I'm still on his side about this. I'm still on his fight about this side, but I don't believe Vishal was really going to do that. And
yeah, I don't believe.
I think
either.
He's just trying to like get. He's trying to get Anisha to go after, Vishal. Right? That's what I'm getting. So
I don't know. I can't. I don't know him on the show well enough. But I'm going to get into it when we get into that part of the.
Yeah, that's just my guess. I mean, yeah. I don't know. So then his brother Sean's in the back seat, and he's like, my brother is my best friend, and I'm sticking up for him. And when he came out, he was worried how our uncles would take it, and I was so proud of how our cousin stood up for him, explained it, which is really sweet.
That was really nice. Yeah, it was a lovely moment. Yeah.
So then we go to
who'd have thought on this show there was a lovely moment. There was a lovely moment on Family Karma, guys. I can't believe it. Yeah, so shots, as you said. Yeah, so people are arriving, and Brian, like, Emery walks in with Nicholas, and Brian's like, come on, guys, you got to take a shot. He's like, whoa, that's aggressive. which is funny, because like, on every other Bravo show, it's like, if just doing one shot would just seem kind of tame, right? And you're like, whoa, a shot. Whoa, this is aggressive.
So Bali comes in, and she's dressed in like a really sexy swim cover, like netting swim cover thing. And Amrit's like, hi, it's not Vegas. And she goes, not Vegas. This is the Bellagio. This is the Bellagio, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
No, that doesn't even make sense. This is Bellagio's palace. Oh, I could do better.
This is the Bellagio, whatever.
And she's like, where's Richa? And he's like, it's a lot. And then all of a sudden Dharma comes out with a vacuum. She's like, oh, excuse me, everyone, I just need to vacuum a little bit lightly, just some noise, okay? Just some
like mom, it's so embarrassing.
Well, don't spill star fruit all over the floor.
So then the other car shows up, Anisha's car with everybody, and Dharma announces her pasta station. She's like, the pasta station is ready to go.
Something also you never see on Bravo is just like trays and trays of carbs. Like pasta station. It's like, I just imagine any cast member from any Real Housewives walking in and seeing that and just fainting on the floor.
Yeah, just completely passing out. So Dharma's like, Dharma and Monica goes up and's like, hello, and gives her hugs. And she's like, sweetheart, you're so beautiful, and blah, blah, blah. And then Monica walks away and she goes, Monica is the sweetheart, but she was a prick tease.
She did a prick tease.
So, Monica, you know, with the whole disease going on and everything, are you going to go get your prick for the COVID, or are you just going to tease it?
Okay, go have some pasta.
Do you want some pasta? We have marinara, Alfredo, or we have this is called special prick tease sauce made just for you. It's like a pesto, except you can't actually have it.
So Bali and Vishal are talking, and she's like, seriously, I know you don't want to talk about it, because like right now you were like, I don't want to talk about it, so let's talk about it. Are you okay?
And he's like, well, I've been taking therapy and I've been learning to express myself some more. Yeah, well, love is hard work. That's how O'Malley and I base our relationship, because actually being in O'Malley's presence takes a lot of hard work. I don't even know why I still do it. I'm just bored, basically.
Yeah, it takes a lot of hard work. Also, it helps that he's like kind of rich, so that helps.
It helps that he's in Louisville and I don't have to actually see him on a daily basis, or really on a quarterly basis.
So Dylan comes in and he's wearing like a little Speedo with kind of a Kyle Richards pashmina type thing.
What do you call those? It's sort of like a caftan, but it's not a caftan at all. It's like an open robe of some sort.
I don't know. So Amrit comes over and he's like, very cute, Dylan. My mom has something like this.
Yeah. Amrit is kind of a dick, by the way. Have you noticed that? He sort of has he's like, everything he says is just kind of an asshole comment. So Sean's girlfriend is Pooja. Pooja, that's what her name is. I really like her. She only had one moment, but I really liked her. So Anisha's talking to her. She goes up to Rish and she's like, I have a confession. You look like Drake. So I called you the dollar store Drake, but I take it back. What's the level above dollar store? Big Lots? Are you like Big Lots Drake? Is that what you are, Big Lots? Bloomingdale's.
Kmart Bloomingdale's Drake. You're Kmart Drake. Yeah. Kmart Drake. And, Rishi's like, oh, you know what? Look, I mean, she can say that. I'm not mad though. And Monica goes, I can be mad still, and I'm still mad. Okay. You wear the Chanel Drake.
Yeah. Cause the producer's like, do you think you look like Drake? He's like, no, not at all. Hey, Raj, am I allowed to say I look a little bit like Drake? Yes. Okay. I look a little bit like Drake.
So he's the vegetarian Drake. That's what we're calling him in this household. So Bali's, Brian's like, oh, wow, Mon, I can't wait for you to meet Mon. I can't wait for Mon to meet Mon, Monty.
And oh, she's I just like, got a text from Mon.
Yeah, and Bali's like, can I make a suggestion? Don't say Monty Mon, say her name, like use her actual name. And he's like, no, because one's my girlfriend and the other is my great friend. You see the difference? And it turns out Monica already knows this girl, which I guess we already know from Patches.
Well, he called her my Monica, by the way, instead of just Monica. And Bali's like, can you not call her my Monica, please? They already know each other, and Dylan's like, oh, so you know each other from like pageants? Like, yes, I know her from pageants. I was a judge and she won. She won. He's like, oh, that's like way less contentious than I was hoping.
So then Dylan and Nicholas and Bali are talking, and Bali's like, the issues between like the girls and Monica are like, she wouldn't be honest about like owning what's going on with her and Brian. Like, she should have just owned it, because she made us look like we were batshit crazy, which, I mean, we probably are, but still.
Yeah, and there's like a simmering drama, because Anisha and Monica haven't said hello to each other, so Anisha decides that she's going to go over to Monica to be the bigger person. So this is her version of being the bigger person. I'm going to be brief, and I know we feel the same way about each other, but I'm not going to be at a party and not say hello, so I think we can be cordial. So I'm saying hello and goodbye. Yeah. Just like, okay.
Amrit imitates him again. He's like just brushing his hair. And so he's like, so how was she? How'd she react? She goes, I did my part. And she goes, I'm a petty bitch, but hashtag no one cares. Hashtag I canceled my subscription. Okay. Yeah. Hashtag you're not thriving, stupid. Okay. Meanwhile, hashtag your boyfriend eats meat. Suck on that.
Hashtag thriving.
Meanwhile, Dharma is still like in the middle of this party, just like she's doing something in the corner with that pasta. She is like a short order cook over there, just like order up. Who wants more pasta? More. She's just churning out that pasta. So, so then Dylan is he's talking to someone. He's like, "I'm just glad the straights are learning to play with the White Claw." And Bali is she's like, "Well, I'm gonna leave. I've gotta go have dinner with Anushka." Because we saw Anushka before. I don't know if we've mentioned it, but like Bali mentions Anushka, and we see a flashback of Anushka back from school, and she's like, "Anushka, have you done your laundry yet?" She's like, "Mom, I'm going through a breakup." She's like, "I don't know who this person is that came back. I don't like her anymore."
She's like, "I'm still the same, but I like don't even know who this girl is." And so she tells us, "As much as I like being the fabulous auntie, I do not like being at the kids' table when they start playing their games. There's gonna be like solo cups flying." Bye.
And she's right, because then they start playing Flip Cup. And so they're all playing Flip Cup.
Like skins, shirts and skins, bro.
So they take off their shirts to play Flip Cup.
And like Brian's mom comes by with like pasta. Anyone want pasta during Flip Cup? So then there's just like everyone's like asking. Everyone can't wait to see Dr. Monica Delmonico. And Vishal just like jumps in the pool randomly. And so Sean is like, he's like upset because he says that Vishal seems like he's proud of what he did. He's proud that he seemingly stood up for himself in a disgusting way. So he's getting mad. He's getting ready to say something.
Yeah, and then Dr. Monica Delmonico arrives, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, you're so cute!" And everybody's, and that's when Brian's like, "This is Bay. This is Bay, bro. This is Bay."
Yeah. And Brian's telling their love story. He's like, "Yeah, I've known her for a while, and then I like worked up my courage and I finally DM'd her." And Monica's like, "Yeah, I mean, truth be told, I was just like bored at the time, and I was like, well, he's Gujarati and I'm Gujarati, so let's just see what happens."
And then Anisha is like, "I have to leave because like I don't want to be around wet people, but I don't want to rush you if you guys aren't ready to leave." Does she like Brian? At this point, I'm thinking she just likes Brian, right?
You think Anisha likes Brian?
Totally, because last year her whole thing was like giving Monica shit every second, saying that Monica wanted Brian. Oh, just go for Brian. And now the second Brian's girlfriend shows up, she's like, "I'm leaving."
Oh, all furious, right. For no reason. I love that theory.
No,
I love that. I love that.
Love that. I love that.
So then Vishal's like, "Oh, hold on a second, guys. I got to go to the bathroom." And he goes inside, and then we just see him on the phone with his mom saying, "I had two shots, two White Claws, and that's it, Mom. That's it." That's a teaser tomorrow, guys. Don't get too wild.
So let's see. So Avishar is... Wait, who do I have written down?
Avishar is from Top Chef.
Oh, so now they're talking about... Yeah, sorry. Now they're... I just... When I have a
strange
misspelling...
Crossover.
In a show that I'm not sure of everybody's name, I'm like, what the fuck am I even talking about right now? So I'm trying to read through these notes. So Dylan, they're talking about basically talking to, what's his buns? Vishal. And Dylan goes, "Yeah, you know what? He was like unhinged with me. He was like unhinged, you guys." And Sean's like, "Yeah, well, I don't want him going another day thinking it's okay. I'm going to grab him." So he's telling us, "Yeah, well, you know what? I don't call people out often. So when I do, they listen."
Yeah. So Sean goes in and he goes up to Vishal and goes, "Hey, so did you tell Dylan you would bash his face in?" He goes, "Yeah. Well, that's not really okay." "Why not, bro dude?" "Well, you're so upset by the implication that you might be feminine or gay." And then Vishal goes, "Well, he was making fun of my relationship too, bro. He was." And so Sean's like, "Well, it was shade and nothing else." And Vishal's like, "You know what? I'm trying to fucking go home. And if he ever talks shit about me, now he knows." It's like,
but you're going to smash his face? That's not okay, okay? Like, we can't even be here now if you're going to talk like that. And Monica's like, "Oh my God, this is not what we do. We're Indian kids. We're worried about getting a 1600 on the SAT. And Michelle's like, "Words have consequences, bro. They have consequences." And then he tells us, "Well, you know, Dylan's just like my younger brother, and my older brother beat me up all the time to get me in line. So, like, it's totally normal for me to say I'll beat you up because I'm, like, being his big brother." I was like,
I'm like, okay, so you have a voice now, so now you want to pass forward the abuse that was inflicted upon you by your older brother. Got it.
Yeah. I mean, so
this is where I was feeling like my initial instinct was that the talk that he had with Dylan was like a weird masculinity flex, but it was ultimately harmless. That's what I initially felt. And then when Dylan started crying about it in the car, I was like, this is kind of over the top. But then, I don't know, there was something in this scene where I kind of started to change my feelings about it. I just started to think about it more, that like it was to say, I'm gonna push your face into the ground, was actually like, even though it's from Vishal, so I don't think anyone really took it seriously, it actually is kind of, I can see how that actually could be triggering, because I think when you're a gay kid, you actually go through a lot of you go through a lot of that. You go through a lot of taunting and getting beaten up and things like that. I'm actually lucky I didn't go through a lot of it myself, but there are a lot of people who really go through that. And so to be like, hey, you're a gay, like you're gay, you should know better, and if you don't do this, I'm gonna shove your face into the ground, actually could have a lot more weight than I think I actually gave it credit for when I initially saw the scene. And so even though it did feel over the top when Dylan was crying about it in the car, I actually started, when I thought about it, I thought, you know, that actually, those words actually could be more triggering than I realized.
I mean, then don't talk shit about somebody. And I'm not saying, like, my thing is, I don't think that he shouldn't have said, I'm going to put your face in the ground. And the brother being mad and saying, you can't tell my brother you're going to kick his ass, dude.
Yeah.
I get all that. I'm totally on their side with that. But Dylan's still outside going, oh my God, he was unhinged, you guys. He was unhinged coming after me. Which,
that's true.
No. You know, he's out there like trying to turn everybody against Vishal and make Vishal look like this big scary psychopath, which Vishal did it to himself by saying that in the first and standing by it. But at the same time, Dylan, come on, give me a break. I'm not gonna totally buy that.
Well, I think that what was a little frustrating for me is I think that we're both kind of right, and I think that Dylan, we don't really know the context of what Dylan was saying, because the way Dylan puts it, he was just like talking, and then it gets back to Vishal. And you know, with this group, things do get misconstrued very easily. But yeah, Dylan probably should not be, as Amrit says later, you know, if he's saying that Vishal is gay, and if Vishal is gay, then he's basically outing him.
So it's
irresponsible.
But it's the blowjobs.
As the blowjobs too. But that being said, Vishal's response should not have been, I'm going to shove your face into the ground. So they're kind of both wrong. And I don't think that anyone's sort of realizing that.
So Brian's like, you know, Brian's laughing at them because they're getting really heated inside, Sean and Vishal. So
yeah.
He's like, the most passive kids in the group are going to get on, like, go at it. Give me a break. And then Vishal's like, he called me gay. He's like, that's nothing. He put me on a Richter scale of gay. And he goes, first of all, it's called the Kinsey scale. And Brian goes, nerd fight.
and then Anish enters and she's like, are you serious? I told Dylan that's not Vishal. It's out of character. He's just kidding. And Vishal's like, no, I'm not kidding. So Sean's like, so you really want to beat him into the ground? And Amrit gets involved. He goes, well, let's talk about what Dylan said about Vishal. You know, let's talk about that. Like, why can't Dylan say whatever Dylan wants, but Vishal can't say what Vishal wants? So that, I guess maybe that was where I got annoyed, Ronnie. I think I got annoyed because it wasn't a thing of like, oh, Vishal is allowed to say that. And like, neither of them should be saying that shit.
Well, they've both got their attack dogs going after each other, right? Because now it's Anisha versus Amrit. So they're like, that's not the same thing. And he's like, it is the same thing. And he goes, but he said that this guy sucks dicks. And you just hear the mom go, oh my God.
She like looks up from the pasta station. She's been making pasta the entire time right in front of this, but she hasn't really been paying attention. She just finally realizes. So and then Pooja starts getting mad. So she's like, so you think it's okay what he said? Back the fuck off. And I'm like,
yeah, this girl's like ready for TV. She's like, she came in ready to wave her finger around and be like, you better fuck off.
I actually liked it. I like that little bit of energy there. So then Dylan leaves, but he like hugs Auntie Dharma goodbye first, because he's like, well, it's just not how we're raised. We don't walk out of someone's house without saying goodbye. It's just not nice.
Yeah,
I'm saying this sucks. Because it becomes an actual story.
Half the party leaves now. Half the party leaves his birthday, which sucks, you know, over this stupid drama. And so Sean's like, I can't even talk to you right now. Like, he's all mad. And Brian's telling them, like, I'm sorry, you guys. I didn't want there to be drama at the party. I'm sorry that there was. And Dylan's like, well, I mean, I told my brother I didn't want him to do anything about it. I'm like, and he cries. And I'm like, okay, with the crocodile tears. You're crying again. You got him to go in there to do something.
Yeah. So, they're just like, it's just drama because they all grew up together, et cetera. So, Amrit tells us, you know, Dylan can't just say whatever the hell he wants to. You can't just say someone's gay. Vishal's not, but let's say he was. You're outing him by doing that, which is a very fair point. So they're basically like Sean's family and girlfriends and Anisha, they all just leave. And so now Monica's going to find a reason to get mad. Original Monica, non-Dr. Monica. She's like, I can't believe they're storming out. It's disrespectful. There's still food here. The cake hasn't been cut. The SATs are tomorrow. I mean, this is just rude.
Yeah, and this is not just any cake. This isn't everything but the cake. Okay? I mean, that's a good cake. Is that what those are called?
Everything but the cake?
I actually
didn't look at the cake. I didn't look at the cake.
Everything.
I'm sorry. What is that? But everything but the cake?
Oh, nothing but cakes. That's what they're called. Nothing but cakes.
Tell me more. What are they? Oh, it's a place.
They're bundt cakes. Yeah, it's a place that makes bundt cakes, which is kind of the weirdest shop ever, but they do really well. I love them. And they sell gluten-free cakes, and so we have to go there all the time for my family because I have a lot of gluten-free people. And so I'm resenting it, but they are really delicious upscale bundt cakes. Who knew? So the dad is like, are you okay? And he's telling Vishal, listen, your family, you know, this is your home too, so you just relax and don't worry about it.
And he's like, you know, the boys, they're all friends. And again, talking about them like they're 11-year-olds. So they're just Vishal is talking with Rishi, and he's like, how am I in the wrong? And Monica's like, well, people want to look at your reaction and not what triggered you. Okay, not what triggered you. And basically, you know, but then Brian says, well, Dylan was shaking and crying. And then Vishal's like, but my brother beat me up all the time. He is kind of trying to reframe it as if like this was actually some sort of affectionate thing that he did.
Yeah, he's like, I was doing him a favor. I was trying to show him I loved him by threatening to kick his ass, guys. But you can tell that he feels really bad. So I'm sure no matter what, next week he's going to go be like, I'm sorry. I'm not really going to kill you. You know?
They're all so nice that there's no way that this fight is going to last. Like, well, first of all, the parents are going to make them sit down in the same room. They're like, okay, you sit down. We'll be out here. And you come back when you guys are friends again. You know, it's just going to be like that.
Brian cracked me up because Vishal's now all upset about it, right? Because he's terrified the kid. And so he feels really bad. And Brian goes, yeah, man, the violence thing, that really scared the shit out of him. And I don't blame him. I mean, look at you. You're a god.
You want some star fruit?
So pretty good. Good episode.
Yeah, I love the show. I absolutely love it. So, everyone, that wraps up our week here on Crappins. We'll be back on Monday with, what are we doing on Monday again? Is it Shaw's?
Top Chef.
Top Chef. We're back on Monday with Top Chef. And we'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappins would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
In the Hizzy with Jay Hizzy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser is Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Kuti Kuti Kuji.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
We're a fan of Michael Land.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.